for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you once again to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals, this time to page 54 in the back section. Page 54, as we will read together Lord's Day 42. That's found on the bottom of 54 and the top of page 55. From page 54, Lord's Day 42, I'll read the question and you may respond with the answer. Question 110, what does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? What does God require of you in this commandment? This morning we turn our attention to the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And our study of the law of God is coming to a close. We have for the last couple months together been looking at God's law. You remember, children, that there are two big parts of the law of God. We call them the two tables of the law. The first four commandments, dealing primarily with our relationship to God. And the last six commandments, dealing primarily with our relationship to our neighbors. And we saw in the fifth commandment that first neighbor that we dealt with was our parents and submitting to their authority. From there, we talk about respecting our neighbor in terms of his life, in terms of his wife, and now in terms of the things that he has. You shall not steal. We recognize that this commandment calls us to love our neighbor, not to envy, not to want the things he wants as potentially our own, but to respect the things that he has, to respect what God has given to him and what God has given to us. Paul gives instructions in 1 Timothy to the church, and he connects our doctrine with our relationship with others. He says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine, does not agree with the sound words of our Lord, and a teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up and conceited, he understands nothing, he has an unhealthy craving for controversies, for quarrels, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people. Paul says what we believe reflects how we relate to those around us. And that's true about the Eighth Commandment. What we believe about our things, about what God has given to us and what God has given to others, will be a reflection of our understanding of who God is and of the fact that God is in control of all things, of what we have and of what our neighbor has. Paul calls the church to contentment. Contentment. If we struggle with a desire of wanting someone else's things, seeing what he has and thinking, oh, I wish I had that, perhaps I might want to try to take that from him, the prescription for that is contentment. Godliness with contentment. In this, Paul says, there is great gain. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. That we do whatever we can for our neighbor's good. We treat him as we would treat ourselves. We care about his things and not try to take things or even have the desire to take things that do not belong to us. Paul begins by saying we have to recognize our true condition. He says in verse 7, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world." We brought nothing into the world. Which of us had any say about what family they would be born into? That was God's choice. Which of us had any say as to whether that family we were born into would be a family that was more wealthy or a family that was less wealthy? We had no say in that. We brought nothing to the family as we were born. But God, in His providence, chose to place us where He wanted to place us. Whether that be in a family with a lot or a family with a little, we brought nothing to it. The fact that we were born into a particular family was God's choice. He is in control. And that theme of God being in control will be one of the keys to understanding contentment. We brought nothing into the world. Everything we have is a gift of God. The family we're born into is a gift of God. Everything we have received. Psalm 24 talks about that. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God of that fullness chooses to bless us, either a lot or a little. But it's His choice. We do nothing. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. That's a good reminder for us too. We so often work so hard to amass things, to amass stuff, toys that we want to play with. We see what someone else has and we desire that and we try to get one for ourselves. We have this desire to want more and more and more. We have to remember, no matter how much stuff we amass, we take nothing with us when we die. It all gets left behind. It all gets left to someone else. Now, godliness, here's verse 7. Godliness hears this, we brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out. Godliness hears that and has a sense of comfort there. That it's all in God's hands. The world hears that, and they are distressed. They are depressed. The world wants to think, okay, then it's out of my control. I guess I'm not in control anymore, and that's a discouragement to the world. But for the godly person, a sense of contentment. God, who knows all things, God, who does all things well, will provide for what I need. He will give me the gifts necessary. I brought nothing in. I can take nothing out. It's beyond my control. It's in the hands of God. Now we have to understand, when we say it's in the hands of God, it's up to His choice of what we have. There are some that say, oh yes, God is the giver of all good gifts, but we can somehow manipulate Him to do things our way. We sometimes call that the health and wealth gospel. That's nothing new today. That was there in Paul's time. End of verse 5. Imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Some people teach today that if only you believe in Jesus, everything will be great for you financially. If only you put your trust in Him, God will bless you more than you can imagine. Oh, God is just sitting there waiting to bless. If only you will ask Him. About 10 years ago, remember the prayer of Jabez? That whole thing that came up, if Jabez's prayer, how God wants to prosper us. And if you will just pray this particular prayer, you can somehow coerce God to make Him give you stuff. And the prayer of Jabez was a huge phenomenon that went on for years. There's still books on the shelf today. It became this wonderful mantra that if you just say the right words, then God is obliged to pour out blessing upon you. God doesn't owe us anything. And we must be careful not to equate, not to simply equate wealth with the blessing of God. There are many wealthy people, but that wealth is not to their blessing. It is part of their condemnation. They should have recognized the God who is in control. They should have recognized the God who is providing all these things, and they do not. And on the final day, that wealth will rise up as a testimony against them for failing to acknowledge the goodness of God. No, we recognize our situation properly. That there's nothing we brought into the world, nothing we can take out of the world. Everything we have is a gift of God. And as such, we need to be content with the gifts He has given and thank Him for His provision. Verse 6 says, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. The opposite of contentment is that continued desire for more. I want more and more things, even if I have to steal to get them. But there is great gain in godliness with contentment. Contentment recognizes God is in control and He will give me what I need. Perhaps not everything I want, but all of my needs will be provided. In that, there is great gain. The opposite is the continual desire for more. I want more and more things and more stuff, even if I have to use theft or robbery to get them. And this continual desire for more, this greed that goes on. And when we are greedy and we want more and more, we will never, ever have enough. Because someone will always have more than we have. We will always be unsettled. But when we have contentment, godliness with contentment, then whether God gives us a lot or whether God gives us a little, we will be satisfied. We will be content because we recognize it is His work in our lives. Gifts from His fatherly hand. And we respond with thanksgiving for the basic gifts of life. Paul says in verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. If we have food and clothing, if God provides only the most basic needs with these, we will be content. And I have to confess, I have a hard time echoing the words of the apostle in this verse. Only having food, only having clothing, the idea of shelter, safety from the elements. If that's all God provided, would I really be content yet? I think it's hard for us to even imagine what that would be like if God only gave us our most basic needs. We sit at the table and there's food all in front of us, and the children ask, do I have to eat all the food on my plate before I can have my ice cream with hot fudge for dessert? Do I have to eat it all? Rather than being thankful for every single bit God has given to us. We have so much. And when we have so much, I think it's much harder to be content. Some of you college students know about that. You know what it is to have a little, a very little. And you know what it is to get by day by day by day. Some of the other of us know that too. But I think particularly when you're in college, it seems to be that way. You get by day by day. And I think it's easier to be thankful because you recognize every day God is providing what you need. When we're established in our homes, when we're established in our families, when we have our bank accounts, it's easy for us to kind of rely upon ourselves, and we become less thankful. And as a result, often less content too. But if we have food and clothing, the most basic needs of life, with these, we will be content. Because when we lack that contentment, when we lack that sense of thanksgiving for what God has provided, what we are saying is, God, you are not doing your job. When I have a lack of contentment and a lack of thanksgiving in what God has given, and I say, I want more, I want His stuff, and I want His stuff, we're saying, God, you're somehow being miserly in your gifts to me. God, you're not doing your job well enough. You're not providing everything that I think I need. And we charge God. We charge Him by being unfaithful to His promises to provide for us day by day by day. And that charging of God with being miserly is what leads then to temptations and schemes and plans that will not work to our benefit, but that will work to our destruction. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The temptation to get rich quick. How many times don't we get things in the mail or things in our emails of just do this and you'll have money really fast. You pay a little bit now and you get a whole bunch more later. And that, I have to confess, that idea somewhat does resonate in my soul. The idea of get rich quick. Doing a little to get a lot. But that's somehow saying, God, you're not doing enough for me. If I have to do it myself. And we enter into these schemes, these snares, these temptations that can plunge us into ruin and destruction. Get-rich-quick schemes. If they sound too good to be true, they probably are. No, God has provided us with everything we need. The means of earning our own sustenance as well. But even that we recognize, the ability to work is a gift of God. The ability to provide for ourselves and not to need to steal from my neighbor, to take his things, that I might be able to work faithfully and share rather than take, share with those in need. This idea of wanting a little more and a little more and a little more, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it is through this craving that some people have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The desire for more can lead us away from the things of God. We can pick up a little overtime at work. We can pick up time and a half hours. Oh, there'll be the hours on Sunday morning that take us out of worship, but we can get a little bit more. Through this craving, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The desire for more can crowd out the desire for what God wants, the spiritual things of our life. The desire to walk more and more closely to Him. Trusting more and more that whether He gives us a lot or whether He gives us a little, He still is in control. And trusting He still will provide, and not falling for the temptations, for the schemes, for the plots, for the snares that lead us away from the faith and lead us into destruction. We have to recognize this. We have to teach our children this. That as they grow up, everything they have is a gift of God. Everything they have been given. Children, you have perhaps toys or books or stuffed animals in your room. Many of them probably were given to you, given as gifts. You didn't earn them. Perhaps you didn't even deserve them. But mom and dad, just because they love you, chose to give you something. And as we teach our children about the fact that we are the recipients of all these undeserved gifts around us, we connect that with the truth of the Christian faith. And we teach our children that just as mom and dad provide for them things just because we love them, so too our Father in heaven, who provides for us our needs just because He loves us. Not only our physical needs, not only the clothing, the food, the shelter God gives to us, but God meets our deepest need, the need to belong to Him. The need to have our sins forgiven. Not because we have earned it. We brought nothing into the world. We take nothing out. We have not done anything unto salvation. But God, simply of His free grace and free choice, chose to make us His own. Chose to give us a gift. Physical gifts in this life, but spiritual gifts as well. The gift of faith. That we could respond to the gospel. That we could acknowledge our bankrupt condition. We brought nothing in. But God provides everything. God provides our deepest needs. And we have to hear that, and our children have to hear that too. That just as mom and dad give them free gifts just because we love them, so God has given to us a free gift in Jesus Christ, just because He loves us. And then when we recognize that He's given us that, this most precious gift, He's given us life, then by His Spirit we can begin to be content. We can begin to recognize that the One who has provided for our deepest need will certainly provide for our ongoing needs. Oh, perhaps not everything we want, but everything we need for life and for godliness, provided by a Father in heaven. And in that knowledge, we take comfort. In that knowledge, we can be content because He knows what we need, and God in His goodness provides what we need. When we think about the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, we think about the things around us. Stuff. But it's more than that. It recognizes God's control. It recognizes God's provision in everything. In our physical life and in our spiritual life. Recognizing that God, who provided everything we need to live, will give us life itself. May God help us to have that type of contentment. Contentment with what He has provided. Contentment with the gifts of this world. Contentment with the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Not trying to add anything to our salvation, but simply resting in what He has done. May God give us godliness with that type of contentment. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word, and it is a Word that touches us on so many levels. You have given us so much, so many physical things, and yet so often we desire more. We look at things around us and we have that greed that still lives in our hearts. That greed which violates your command. Forgive us for that, O God. May we recognize how weak and frail we are in terms of our provision. May we recognize how great and loving and generous that you are. That you provide not only for our needs, but so many times for our wants as well. Lord God, give us a sense of contentment. Contentment with where you have placed us in life. Contentment with the gifts you have provided. And remembering that you have met our most deep need, the need of life itself in Jesus Christ. May we be, O God, satisfied, content, and thankful for all that you have done. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.